welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Today's topic is semiconductor materials innovations. My guest is semiconductor veteran Alex Yoon, who is currently head of strategic and emerging technologies at Intermolecular. Good morning, Alex, and welcome to our podcast.
Good morning, Daniel. Great to be here.
Great. Alex, first, let's start with how you came to semiconductors.
During grad school, I observed the clock speed war between Intel and AMD, and I was amazed by how these two companies are innovating and then leapfrogging each other. And that intrigued me, and then about the semiconductor industry's innovations, and then that's how I got brought into the semiconductor industry.
Yeah, I remember that. Intel was at 36 megahertz and AMD leapfrogged them to 40 megahertz. And, you know, I went out and bought a 40 megahertz system for extra money. And I don't even know if I even noticed the difference, but that was the way the semiconductor industry was back then. So, Alex, you're fairly new to Intermolecular, and you previously worked at OEMs and in the ecosystem. How have you seen the R&D challenges evolve over the years?
Yes, I just recently joined Intermolecular. That's a part of the EMB Electronics. Prior to that, I spent over 20 years in the semiconductor equipment industry. And over the years, I have noticed that this semiconductor industry has no shortage of challenges. This industry has been very clever and innovative to extend the incumbent technology as much as possible, and sometimes beyond what people has predicted. However, when it's absolutely necessary, it's moving to the new direction. I think the good example is moving to the FinFET transistor. Over the years, challenges are the number of materials used in the single device is increasing. New elements traditionally not used in the semiconductor has been employed, and many more are being researched at this point. The complexity of the materials with the more elements, combination of the different materials, poses a big challenge in the material innovation. There are just too many options to consider for these devices. It's also the big challenges. Recently, a database approach has been introduced, and it will keep the accelerating the material innovation.
Yeah, that's for sure. So can you tell us a little bit more about Intermolecular's unique methodology?
Yes, Intermolecular was founded on the idea of a material innovation based on the high throughput experiments for material discovery or combinatorial chemistry. In this high throughput experimentation, a large number of experiments are executed in parallel, thereby mapping out the experimental spaces too quickly to find the optimal materials combinations and process conditions. We have been using these tools to support our customers in accelerating their device development by scouting out the materials combinations for their next node devices. We have quickly built and analyzed material stack on either customers or our proprietary test vehicles. With the materials characterization and electrical test result, we can offer solutions to customers' material challenge to create the first market opportunities. Working across all of our semiconductor business and leveraging our complete portfolio of the materials and experiences across the entire value chain, we can bring together multiple materials and unique solutions that meet the specific customer requirements.
Interesting. So tell us about a typical workflow and the steps you take to solve customers' challenges.
Yeah, first, the customer, whether that's internal or external, approach us with their challenges. And first, we discuss with the customer what the material system should be screened for applications, what method of the deposition technique need to be used, what integration scheme should be used, what electrical test vehicles are applicable. Then, tests are conducted, they are collected in our informatics systems. And customer has access to the specific folder in our informatics system, and we discuss the progress with the customer and determine what next step should be.
Ah, very collaborative. So data analytics is becoming increasingly important in our industry. Tell us what type of data and insights your informatics systems provides customers.
So informatics has been a big part of Intermolecular's material research. With any wafer, what process, the informatics system records what process steps has been performed, which steps is wafers in that, what metrology data has been collected, and what the next step should be in the processes. Any film characterization data, as well as the electrical test results, are available for the customer. Of course, we have this very strong firewall that keeps each customer's data to a specific folder with access control.
Great. So quality checks, how do you perform continual quality checks, you know, and how big of a part is this in your methodology?
So of course we have the variety sets of the process equipment as well as the methodology equipment, and then keeping them in check is a big part of our strategy. Of course we perform the chamber qualification regularly and making sure that the chamber is performing at this top level before we conduct any customer experiments.
Okay, let's talk about EMD Electronics. It's a big company. How do you work with the other groups at EMD across the semiconductor value chain?
Yeah, we work closely with the R&D groups in the business field to add capability and capacity to what they can offer. Also, we work very closely with the EMD Electronics CTO office for advanced materials development. And as mentioned, we can offer integrated material solutions to the R&D groups and CTO office.
So you have a fab in San Jose. Can you tell me more about that? What are you doing?
Yeah, we have a more than 150,000 square feet facility in San Jose, and with the about 32,000 square feet of clean room spaces in our San Jose site. We have a multiple processing and metrology equipment, as well as electrical testers. Our clean room is set up in a flexible way, so we can host this process and then produces these first working prototypes of the small series to generate yield and reliability data. Some of our customers will then reinsert their wafers back into their process, or in some cases, if we even host their tools in our clean room. As for our facility, recently Merck, Silicon Valley Innovation Hub, has moved to our building, and we are very happy to host them.
Oh, that's great. It's nice to have fabs in Silicon Valley again. You know, I grew up here and there used to be fabs everywhere, but now they're few and far between.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that some of the startups has contacted the Intermolecular, because they need to have some prototype devices made. And there are, as you mentioned, not many people who can do integration and then provide the data. So we are actually working with the many small startup companies.
Yeah, you know, I started my career in Silicon Valley at a fab in Sunnyvale, and you know, it's long gone, but it's nice to have technology. That's what Silicon Valley is all about, right? Integrated technology, your neighbors helping you. It's a good deal. It's good to see that again. So can we talk about the chip shortage real quick? You know, the chip shortage has impacted everyone in the industry in some way. Do you have any insights on how long it will last or ways the industry can come together to address it?
Yes, I think in some newses, the chip shortages are easing, and some newses it's not. So we have some mixed signals. I think it is going to stay for some time. I don't know exactly how long it's going to last. However, as the Anand Nambiar, who is the global head of the semiconductor materials in Merck, has noted previously, the chip shortage isn't just the chip shortage. We actually have experience shortages in both in the low and integrated materials necessary for manufacturing processes. At the same time, the supply chain won't get the chance to come up with the air anytime soon. So it becomes the shortage of the ecosystem, not just the chip shortage.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the supply chains for all different industries have been disrupted, and you know, it's not just semiconductors, but hopefully we can get a better control over our supply chain. You know, some companies do have really tight controls. TSMC has a really tight control, and Taiwan has done very well with COVID, keeping COVID out of Taiwan. So, you know, other companies and other industries, you know, need to take that as an example, I think. You know, one final question, Alex, is what can we expect over the next few years in materials development, and what can we expect from Intermolecular specifically?
Yes, as mentioned before, many different new materials are being researched. new materials becoming increasingly critical to new advances in the electronics as demand of more performance, functionality, and reliability are needed to meet the explosive growth of the data, 5G, artificial intelligence, IoT, virtual reality, and edge computing. With the higher material complexity, different integration schemes are needed, and we will continue to see new opportunities to integrate solutions to meet unique customer needs. At Intermolecular, we can mirror a simplified version of our customers' manufacturing process flow that allows for testing and development of the material process conditions rapidly and iteratively for a specific problem. And then that will be the key to the advancement in material innovations.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate your time, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We will speak with you again next week.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting me.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.